Well, good evening and welcome. This is Chris Robinson. I want to thank you so much for joining me here tonight for the 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth Mastermind Group. You know, this is our four-week teaching of the 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth, and this is hosted by myself and my partner, Deb and Gino. And last week, we had the opportunity to learn from Deb and gain a ton of knowledge from her. As I was out last week with my wife, it was her 40th birthday last Wednesday night, so I had the opportunity to opt out of the call with Deb that night, and she covered me there. But tonight is a very special night for Deb. Deb has been married for 38 years. 38 years, and Deb is celebrating her wedding anniversary, and so she will be jumping back in and joining us next week. And so truly excited to be back on with her next week, and we'll finish out the last 2 weeks of this together, but handling these first two calls solo. So tonight I'm going to be sharing with you tonight from the Law of the Mirror in the 15 Laws of Growth. So for those of you who are not familiar with me, my name is Chris Robinson. I'm one of the teaching faculty members with the John Maxwell team, and I was certified and began in the John Maxwell team program in March of 2011. And by jumping into the program, getting certified, utilizing the tools and resources like we have on tonight's call here, I was able to grow and build a business as being a coach, speaker, and trainer, utilizing the Maxwell Method of Sales, the Maxwell Method of Speaking, the Maxwell Method of Entrepreneurship. And I was able to do that with the support of mentors and faculty members in the John Maxwell team, as well as the resources that were provided with the John Maxwell team. And so I know many of you on the line here tonight are looking to find out more information about that. And if you would like to find out more about how you can utilize some of the content I'm going to be talking about tonight, as well as having a further interest in developing yourself or becoming a coach, speaker, trainer, you can go to johnmaxwellteam.com/15laws. So today, as a coach, speaker, and trainer, I work with companies and organizations implementing John Maxwell material into organizations. I have a good mix of coaching, speaking, and training. I currently have a coaching roster of just over 46 individuals. I have about 3 group trainings that I do on a weekly basis and speak once or twice a month at different conferences, events, and corporation as well, too. So, but I was able to do that as a result of being a part of this program, and it has been a phenomenal journey for me. So tonight online, you truly do have a product of the product, and now I'm one of the teaching faculty members that still is in the trenches doing it and teaching from real-life experience, not just the philosophy of utilizing the John Maxwell team system. So, again, if you're interested in finding out more about that, be sure to check out johnmaxwellteam.com/15laws. All right, well, last week, Deb opened up with the law of intentionality, and she covered a ton of ground on that law. But this week, I'm going to talk about the law of the mirror. Now, one of the things that John Maxwell does whenever he's writing brand new content is that with the John Maxwell team members, he typically shares that information with us. Usually, it's been about a year in advance. And so I remember when this book came out, I believe it was around 2014 or 2015, but I remember sitting inside of West Palm Beach, Florida, in a small group of people that were there at the time, and John was teaching us on the 15 laws of growth. And the law that he shared was the law of the mirror, the law of the mirror. Now, when he talked about this law, I immediately kind of cast it down. The law of the mirror says this. The law of the mirror says that you must see value in yourself to add value to yourself. You must see value in yourself to add value to yourself. And he said, this chapter is about self-esteem. Now, immediately I put my head down. I was like, really? Self-esteem? What is this, junior high? And I kind of just dismissed it because, you know, that's a strong suit of mine, is I have a strong self-esteem, and that was built by my parents and their encouragement. And so self-esteem has never really been a major issue for me. And so I kind of dismissed it. But being a follower of the program and the system, I said, okay, I'm going to go out and teach this. And here's what I found. As I went to companies and organizations and we began to talk about the law of the mirror, as we began to talk about self-esteem, what I found is that there's more adults dealing with self-esteem issues than there might be in an actual junior high. Every time that we discussed this chapter, there was tears, there was fears, there was loss, there was pain, and there was confidence and people being held back because of their self-esteem. And one of the things that we have to do is we have to see value in ourselves to add value to ourselves. And so tonight we're going to be talking about a couple different ways to build your self-esteem. Now Zig Ziglar says this. He says that self-esteem is the single most significant key to a person's behavior. It's impossible. It is impossible to consistently behave in a manner which is inconsistent with how we see ourselves. So what is that saying? It says that we will never live beyond our own belief. We can never live beyond our own self-belief. So we hear the phrase, fake it till you make it. Fake it till you make it. There's no such thing as you fake it till you make it. You're going to fake it, then somebody's going to find you out. You're going to fake it, but you're not going to make it. You're going to crack. You can only fake it for so long, but you cannot outperform your self-belief. You think about it. If you've ever worked for an organization, let's say on the line here, I would probably gather to say, if you're on this line here, you're personal growth oriented, and chances are at some point in time in your life, you may have participated in a network marketing opportunity, okay? Love network marketing opportunities. And here's the thing. You may have had this belief that, hey, this could be the opportunity that will take me to where I want to go, is what you said outwardly. But inwardly, you thought, I don't know if this is going to work. Inwardly, you thought, I'm not going to tell everybody about it. I'll just see if my closest friends like it. If they like it, I'll move along with it. See, outwardly you were saying, I'm going to do what it takes. But you couldn't outperform. You couldn't outbehave that true self-belief. So on the outside, when we're faking it till we're making it, we don't actually make it because you can never outperform your own self-belief. And so now I'm going to share with you a couple different ways. I'm going to share you five different ways in order for you to build your self-image, to build your self-image, five different ways. And we're going to open up for Q&A. And if you're just joining us here, I want to welcome you to the call. And we're talking about the 15 invaluable laws of growth. And we're talking about tonight the law of the mirror. If you're interested in finding out more how you can utilize this content, be sure to check out johnmaxwellteam.com/15laws. Here we go. How do we build our self-esteem? How do we build that self-image? How do we go from faking it till we making it to that belief being solid? The first thing that we have to do is we have to guard our self-talk. We have to guard our self-talk. This is so important because what we say to ourselves, we tend to believe, and I don't know about you, but I talk to myself, but sometimes when we talk to ourselves, we got to talk back to ourselves. Now, what do I mean by talk back to ourselves? Well, I mean when we talk to ourselves, and it's opposite of what we want to believe, we have to verbally talk back to ourselves. So when we get that thought of, oh, I can't do that, yes, I can do this. I don't want to get up and do this today. Yes, I'm going to get up and do this today. It has to verbally come out of our mouth. Our self-talk is what guides and directs everything that we do. And I can tell you what, I have a strong self-talk, and I didn't realize how strong my self-talk was until I did a study about a year ago. About a year and a half, 2 years ago, I went through this writing course, and throughout this writing course, what we had to do every single day is I had to write 3 pages every single day. 3 pages every day I had to write out for 30 days. Now, during this process, it didn't matter what you wrote. You're just writing your thoughts. Even if you didn't have anything to write, you could just write, I'm just writing to be writing, yada, yada, yada. But here's what I found is I went back through my thoughts. Any time that I had wrote down any negative type of situation, I found myself countering that self-talk with a positive thought or a corrective thought. And I did not notice that until I seen that in my writing. I didn't notice it until about 3 months ago. I was playing golf with a client of mine, and, you know, we were playing throughout the day, and I love the game of golf, and I love the challenge. I love overcoming the odds. I love the making up for the bad shots that I make, and there's a lot of those shots that I make. And I get back to the client's office, and he says, you know, I learned something about you that day. I said, well, what'd you learn? He said, well, one of the things I learned is you have truly a strong, positive self-talk. I said, what do you mean? He goes, on any shot that was off, you found the good in it. Even when I hit bad shots, you talked about the good circumstances in it. He says, well, if I sliced that thing all the way to the right, you said, well, at least you got a clear angle into that and you're not in the sand. He says, if I hit that in the water, well, at least you can come back here and re-tee the shot from here. He said, every single shot that I made, you recorrected it, and you saw the positive in it. And I wasn't even thinking about it when I was standing. This was just what was coming out of my mouth. This was the strategy that I was thinking as it was coming. The self-talk has to be strong. Listen to this. By the time that you're 17 years old, you've heard the word no or you can't an average of 150,000 times by the time you're 17 years old. By the time you're 17 years old, you've heard yes, you can about 5,000 times. So that's 30 no's for every yes that makes for a powerful belief of you can't do something. That's a lot to overcome if you've been told 5,000 times. If you've been told, you know, so for every time you've been told yes, you can, 30 times you've been told, no, you can't. Now, if you're feeding that belief and if you're feeding that self-talk to yourself, you are putting yourself in a dangerous situation. You are putting your kids in a dangerous situation. You're putting your spouse in a dangerous situation. When you're speaking, no, you can't. Our minds as adults have to be built, and it has to be built by our own self-talk. We have to overcome that in order to increase our value. The second thing that we have to do if we want to build our self-esteem is we have to stop comparing ourselves to others. Number two is stop comparing ourselves to others. You see, this is a very dangerous place because what happens is we often try to compare our beginnings to somebody else's middle or their end. And if we want to compare, the only person we can compare ourselves to is ourselves. Are you a better person today than you were yesterday? Are you a better person today than you were a week ago? Are you a better person today than you were a month ago, 6 months ago, a year ago? That's the only comparison that you have to make because oftentimes when we're looking to compare, we don't know the whole story. We only see a piece of the story. We think that's the glory, but you don't know the struggle that went on beneath there to get there. And so you've got to ask yourself, are you willing to pay the price in order to get there? You know, people don't know what it is that you've been through, and they think that, oh, you got it all together, and the truth of the matter is that you don't, but that's all that they see, and they begin to compare and judge their lives based off of that. You see, I had a couple gentlemen in town yesterday that I did a one-day event with, and with this one-day event, it was great. But a part of that event is that they get a chance to come to my house, and they get a chance to ask me questions all day long. All day long, they ask me questions, and they see this success that I have. They see this result that I have. But then what happens is, they get an opportunity to come into my office at my home, and then they walk over to my wall, and the wall is full of books. There's books everywhere inside this office, on the desk, across the wall, across two walls. There's books. There's lanyards from conferences. There's audio programs. There's CDs programs. There's just books everywhere. And these aren't books that have just been ordered and I have a ton of shelf esteem. That's not what we're talking about here. I'm not talking about these aren't shelves and shelves of books that I have not read. These are shelves and shelves of books that I have read that have been put into my mind, that have been taken action upon over a period of time. And they said, well, Chris, this makes sense. Where does this come from? How do you speak that way? Where do these thoughts, these ideas come from? It comes from reading all of these books, from putting in this work of when it didn't work and trying and failing and not caring what my path to success looked like. See, you cannot compare to others. There's only two things that happen when you begin to compare. The first thing that happens when you begin to compare yourself to someone else is you look at someone so far ahead of you and you get discouraged and you quit. The second thing that happens is you look at somebody so far behind you, you get proud and you get complacent. You see, but you cannot compare yourself to anyone but yourself. You see, you can't have the exact same expectation. You can't have the exact same expectation on yourself and you're just beginning something. I mean, think about it. I happen to be the father of six. I have 8-year-old triplets. I have a 4-year-old and I have 15-month-old twin girls. Now, the 15-month-year-old girls, there's an expectation of them. But the expectation of them is different than the 4-year-old. The expectation of the 4-year-old is different than the 8-year-olds. But oftentimes we want to get something, we want to start something, and all of a sudden what happens is we get started, we get involved, and we think, well, why isn't this working for me, and why am I already there yet? Because I had success in this other field or this other category of life, and we think that there's 100% transfer. There is not. It's a brand new baby. It's a brand new child. And the expectation has to be that this is a new birth. We can't compare ourselves. We can't compare our middle to somebody else's beginning. We can't compare our beginning to someone else's end. The only person that you can compare it to is yourself. And are you better now than you were a week ago, a month ago, 6 weeks ago? But we have to make sure that we don't and we stop comparing ourselves to others. Number three is that we have to practice small discipline daily. Small discipline daily. Small discipline daily. You see, we're looking for these quantum leaps in life, and how can we make this big jump? How can I go from A to F? How can I go from A to Z? How can I go from A to W? We want these gigantic leaps, but let me tell you, it's one step at a time. It's one step at a time. And when we take one step, it's going to reveal the next step. But we've got to take these small, consistent daily actions. You know, if we were sitting inside my office here, they said, well, Chris, well, tell us about your daily tasks. How do you plan out your entire week, and how do you deal with time management? It's real simple, I said. I know exactly what I'm going to be doing the entire week by the minute on Sunday. I know my entire week on Sunday, what I'm going to be doing Monday through Friday to the minute each and every single day. I asked them, how many times did you see me pull out my to-do list today? They said, zero. I said, how many times did you see me look at my watch today? They said, a whole lot. I said, because I knew exactly where I needed to be in small discipline. They said, but how did you get to that level? You didn't just go from not having time management under control to being able to follow and execute a daily schedule for an entire week without having to look at your to-do list. I said, no, I didn't. Let's go back. How did I start? I started with index cards. I started with index cards. I said, well, come on, let's go and take a look at the index cards inside my closet here. I pull out the index cards from 2012, 2013. What did it have on there? Every single day. Every single day, it showed a couple different tasks that I was going to be doing. It showed the tasks that I was doing. It showed the calls that I was going to be making. It showed the vision which I was seeking on a daily basis. Every single day. This is what I wrote at the bottom of this index card. Looking for today, paid speaking opportunities, corporate training opportunities, and every single day it was on here, what I was looking for. Do you set the intention of what it is that you're looking for daily, consistently, writing it down? Every single day I had this on these index cards, and now I'm to the point to where I can plan out my entire week, hour by hour, all by the minute, and execute on it. I just worked the day. I just worked the day. But it's consistent. It's consistent. Small discipline daily. Small discipline daily. And choose this. Choose a specific area of your life in order for you to begin to execute that on. The fourth thing that we need to do if we want to increase our self-worth is that we need to celebrate small victories. Celebrate small victories. This is so big because small victories create the big victories. There are no big victories without small victories. If you're not celebrating, if you're not counting those small victories and celebrating the small wins, you're going to burn yourself out. What happens is, let's just take, for example, that you have a goal. I'm going to say that my goal is to go from the front of my house to my mailbox. Now, to the front of my house to the mailbox, it's a couple car lengths to get there, all right? But if that's my goal for our picture here, and the entire way down to the mailbox, I'm only saying, I'm not at the mailbox yet. 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 What's happening? I'm programming myself for failure. But you see, if I, on the way down to the mailbox, I say, well, I made it past the first quarter of the driveway here. I made it past the second quarter of the driveway here. I made it past the third, and I'm celebrating along the way. I'm now programming myself for success. You see, it's the small goals. Anytime that we set a goal, there's goals along the way. And so you have to celebrate the small goals. You have to celebrate the small wins because that's what it takes to make it to the big wins. And then the fifth thing that we need to do if we want to increase our self-image, our self-worth, is that we have to add value to others. We have to add value to others. One of the easiest things to do whenever you're down, you're out, you're inside that stinking thinking, that's to add value to others. I love it every time that I go into a dip. The first thing that comes to mind is, who can I help? Who can I serve? I've got to get my mind, my thoughts off of my circumstances, and I've got to help somebody else out. Why? Because your circumstances are probably aren't that bad. I'm not talking for everybody. I know there's some bad circumstances out there, you know, and I know that, and I get that. But look, I tell you what, on some days, if you're on this call, chances are you're probably dealing with some suburban problems. I got some suburban problems. I just got back from the country of Paraguay. All right, they've got different problems than we got in that third world country. You know, I got back from Paraguay and I said, oh man, the hood is good in the U.S. I mean, come on, somebody. We're talking about no dirt floors. And so, I mean, we've got to take a perspective on issues and we've got to get our thoughts off ourselves. And we got to begin to add value to others. As we add value to others, our self-worth increases, our self-esteem increases, and yet we're able to help somebody else. Get your eyes off of yourself, put it on someone else, and just consider, just ponder for a moment, what if this isn't about you? What if you weren't put on this planet for you? You see, it's truly about others. So here's what we want to do is in the law of the mirror, it says if you don't add value to yourself, if you don't see value in yourself, if you don't see it, you can't add value to others. And so tonight we want to make sure that we covered a couple different things. I just covered five of the points. I just covered five. John gives us 10 inside the book. And so you want to pick up the book. You want to make sure that you get the 15 laws of growth. If you're looking for a book that will help you change, will help you grow, will help you develop, this is a must-read for you. This is one I read absolutely every single year. And so what we'll do, if you like any of this content, if you want to find out more about the 15 laws, be sure to log in and go to the website. And if you got something out of this phone call tonight, be sure to invite somebody back next week when Deb and I jump on together, and we want to hear from you. So I'm going to go ahead and open up the lines for Q&A. And so let's go ahead and get that started. And if you about the John Maxwell team, be sure to go to johnmaxwellteam.com/15laws. Here we go. So press *6 if you would like to jump in the queue. We've got about 30 minutes, and I am fired up here tonight. So press *6 to jump in the queue, and we'll go through the line, and I will answer questions about the 15 laws of growth. So press *6, and we'll get you right in there. Let's go here to our first call here. 724 area code. Welcome to the call. 724, you may be muted on your side.
Yeah, I was muted. How you doing, Chris? I'm Shavar Brown.
Hey, great to meet you, Shavar.
Good. Got a chance to speak with you a little bit at the certification the other month.
Great. How was the event for you?
It was great. You know, just communicating over the years, talking about going and finally following through and going and just getting to meet all the different people from all the different countries. Been to a lot of different leadership conferences, watched Maxwell live many times, but there was nothing like that. That was just a game changer. And, you know, had a chance to talk to Scott and didn't know it was Scott. Asked him what he thought about mentorship, and the guy next to me was like, "Did you just ask him that question? Do you know who that is?" And I was like, "No." I'm like, "I know. I never seen his face, so I didn't know." Talked for a while. Just a good experience. But my question for you is, what was that moment where you just decided to, you know, go full fledged and, you know, just do your own thing and, you know, leave the stability and just have that faith to expand out on your own?
Yeah, man, that's a great question. That's a phenomenal question because it's a story that I don't share a ton, but I think it's going to help somebody tonight. You know, I did very well throughout my 20s, in my age of 20s, and I started making a six-figure income around age 23. And I did really well, and so well that I was inside this bubble, and I thought that my value to the world was, you know, and anything that I do was going to be a six-figure transference. I thought there was 100% transfer of my skill set to anything that I did. I mean, what's to tell me differently when you start making this type of income at that early of an age? And, you know, I had started a company because I was bored in this role at this time. You know, now I was a senior sales manager for this organization, was making great income. I was starting to buy houses and trying to start up other companies and things like that on the side. And they came to us, and I had started this other little small call center, and they came to me and said, "Well, you know, we don't like that at all. You know, you can do any of these other businesses, but we don't like that you started this call center over here. We don't like that. We just don't like the way it looks. We don't like it." So they said, "We need you to do one of two things. Either one, you need to go and run that and that be yours, or, you know, Chris, this is only a week old and, you know, you can kill this one and you can keep your job." Now, I had invited them over to this call center. I was a model employee, had never had anything inside of my record, was the company guy. I mean, the company guy. I handmade the first T-shirt company with iron-on letters. That's how committed I was to this company. Like, true story. I made the first T-shirt with iron-on letters to this company. And I felt at that very moment that, hey, if my job was in jeopardy over this night and I didn't have their trust, that I could never be trusted. And at that time, they asked me to choose, and I choose the company. Now, this was crazy because 99% of America wouldn't have quit that at that time. And now, I know that's a big number, but I was making a high six-figure income, well into the twos, you know, as a base salary, as a base, and I had triplets on the way in about 4 months. Now, that's where I get to the 99. Okay.
Have the faith in what you do.
But here's what I learned, and here's what I learned from my pastor at that time, and these words always stuck in my mind, was that what you can walk away from, you've conquered. What you can walk away from, you've conquered. And I walked away from it, but I didn't know the road and the path that was coming. You know, I thought that I had a golden touch and that I can make anything work, and I didn't know I was getting ready to go on the journey of about six of the hardest years I had ever endured in my life. Now, about 2 years into that six-year journey, that's when I came across John Maxwell Team. And, you know, when I came into John Maxwell Team, I had a significant amount of debt, $180,000. That's significant to me. Now, I know there's others online go, "Whew, I wish I had only 180. All right. But it was significant to me. And, And but I knew that this is what I wanted to do. The other thing I had to deal and contend with is that at any given point in time, I could have gone back and had a six-figure income job in pursuit of this dream that was just being made up of coaching, speaking, and training. But I knew this. If I went back in, I would have a very difficult time coming out. And I made another decision that I think was one of the strongest, most confident decisions that I ever made. And that decision was this. I'm not going to care what my path to success looks like to anyone else. Okay? Because oftentimes the thing that holds us back from having our success is because we're scared of looking silly. We're scared of being deemed a failure. And I decided at the moment, I don't care what my path to success looks like. So what did that cause me to do? How did I test myself in that? I had a house that I let go to foreclosure because it was worth $120,000 less than what I paid on it. I turned in my BMW. I turned in my Hummer. I turned in anything that was going to be an anchor on my lifestyle that would cause me to have a job. Okay, now, tough 6 years, but I truly committed to, I don't care what my path to success looks like. And I chased it, and I chased it. And I tell you what, very, very difficult decisions throughout that process, but let me tell you what, now, I'm debt free. Got the Beamer back, a bigger one, a better one. We got it paid for, okay? It was just a season. If I had held on to what I had achieved in my 20s, that would have been my pinnacle instead of what it was supposed to be, my stepping stone. I hope that helped you out today.
No, I definitely did. You know, good stuff. I just hit my 8-year anniversary last week, with my company, and I kind of feel like I reached a ceiling, so I'm just trying to, you know, figure out my next step, but do it strategically.
There we go. Awesome. Thanks for being on. Great to see you. All right. Let's go to our next caller here. 647 area code. Welcome to the call.
Hi, Chris.
Hello.
My name is Sel. Hi. My name, can you hear me?
Yes, I sure can.
Yes. Okay. My name is Sel. My question is just that I was not able to attend to the first week, last week, call. How do we do to review these ones and to listen to the ones that I, like the last one that I wasn't able to attend?
Ah, okay, great. You may have received an email with a recording. Usually within 24 to 48 hours, we send out a recording for week one. Perhaps what we'll do, if you didn't get that or maybe you registered late, what we'll do is, Scott, if we can, send out, whenever we send out the email for today's recording, add week one and week two as a link. And let me see if I can get an okay on that. Scott, is that something that we can do to send out week one and week two on this next email? Because I'm sure that may be a question for a lot of people on the line. I'll wait to get clearance on that, but I think that's probably something we can easily do for you. All right?
That'll be great. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thanks for being on. Let's go to our next caller here. All right. Welcome to the call. All right. Looks like we have an anonymous caller. Welcome to the call. It might be a voiceover IP. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I sure can.
Yes. Hi, Chris. My name is Raisa. I am calling from New York.
All right. Great to have you on.
Yes. Thank you so much for that story that you shared, because that happened to me recently. I was working for this company for 5 years, but they didn't see any value on me. And I just made the move to transfer to another company, making way less money. And I am working on developing my own company, But I am in this time when you start to feel discouraged. But same as you, I know that if I would have stayed, I would be like there for a very long time without pursuing or achieving my dream. What would you do when you feel, when you were going through that situation? What did you do when you saw yourself with all these steps, and what would you do to encourage yourself?
Right, yeah. So in that time, to encourage myself, you know, it was very, very particular to what I was listening to, all right? And when I say listening, that's either through actually listening or through what you're reading, because you've got to redirect your thoughts. And so this is so important. I want you to listen to this cycle, because this will change you, because this is a cycle that we have. We have this belief, but what dictates our beliefs? All right? It looks like this. Whatever we're listening to dictates our thoughts. Our thoughts will dictate our feelings. Our feelings will dictate our actions. Our actions will dictate our results. And our results will reinforce that original belief that we had. All right? So anytime that I got into that overwhelm, all right, of, man, I've got a ton of debt. Man, I was getting into that stinking thinking. What was happening there? My self-talk, I had to divert myself out of that, and I had to go listen to a motivational speaker. I had to go listen to a John Maxwell. I had to go listen to Eric Thomas. I had to go listen to a Tony Robbins. I had to go listen to my pastor. I had to get out of my own thinking and re-divert that, because I needed to change my self-talk. Or it was, I need to read a book in the direction that I want to go. I need to read a book about either my problem or my passion. And so as you begin to fortify your mind with either thoughts of what you're hearing or what you're reading, it begins to give you those different thoughts, those different feelings that's going to create a different action that's going to get you a different result. But you can't keep thinking about the same thing, doing the same thing, expecting to get a different result. And you have to get clear on what it is that you want, because here's the other thing, all right? Unhappiness is, and I love this, it's in the 15 laws. It says, unhappiness is not knowing what you want and killing yourself to get it. So do you truly have clarity on what it is that you want and what a good day looks like, what a good life looks like? Because oftentimes we have what it is that we want, but we never identified it.
Yes, I know what I want. I know where I want to go, and that is amazing that you mentioned what a good life looks like, because I know exactly what it would look like for me, and that is the reason why I keep doing this, and I have started to move myself towards that direction.
Right. Yeah, you got it. Wow. Well, keep doing it. You got to stay consistent. Stay consistent and keep moving daily. Every single day, you got to do something towards it.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for being on. All right. Let's go to our next caller here. Oh, hold on one second here. Let's go. Let me cancel that out. And boom. All right. So we got a couple more in the line here. So press *6. If you'd like to jump in the queue, we do have space in line. I've got about 16 more minutes here. Again, if you want to find out more information about the John Maxwell team or being able to share any of the content that we talked about tonight, be sure to jump into johnmaxwellteam.com/15laws. That site there is going to give you a little bit more information about the John Maxwell team and if anything resonated with you tonight. Be sure to check that out. Here we go. Let's go to our next caller. 765 area code. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. This is Justin from Indiana.
Hey, Justin.
Yeah, the law of the mirror is probably the one that strikes the deepest as I read through it in terms of being one that cuts the quick. You know, I have no issues helping others with, you know, what I've learned, you know, and overcoming my own struggles and encouraging others. But when it comes to, you know, having that, you know, taking that step and having that confidence myself, I just keep coming back to, you know, just crippling fear. And not so much about being silly, but more just, you know, the things that I feel I need to share, you know, those are kind of the deeply personal things. And so there's a huge amount of vulnerability that, you know, that's sitting there. And, you know, I just find, even though, you know, I've read about, you know, I've read the various ways and I can apply it toward other people, just how to step out and get over those fears, I find my own self struggling, you know, greatly with that aspect of it.
Right. What's your fear of sharing that transparency?
Well, you know, it's more towards the idea of, you know, having it be, you know, thought of as invaluable, silly, stupid, whatever, wrong. And it's an irrational, logical fear. I know that, but unfortunately, it's not the one that is, for a rational person like myself, having an irrational fear that just keeps holding you back is frustrating.
But what if it's opposite of that? Meaning,
okay,
that thing that you don't want to share is the thing that sets somebody else free. So tonight, you know, I share with you guys about foreclosure. I share with you about failure, about debt. Okay? And for somebody on this line, that was for them tonight to set them free. It wasn't about me. Now, I could sit here and share with you all these successes, but here's what success does. Success separates. Success separates. And it puts you on a pedestal and makes things unreachable. And when you can share the transparency of that story, it allows for somebody else to be set free. So you not sharing is more selfish than you only sharing the good or the glimpse. And I want to encourage you that in that pain that you've had, that is there for somebody else, not for you. And, you know, John said this in our last training. He says, the new leadership is about perfection. New leadership is about authenticity. So,
you know, I've read that, but I think I need to use that again.
Right, okay. So somebody's waiting on your real story.
Right.
Your mass story has got you someplace, but it's your real story that's going to transform people.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Thanks for being on. We're looking forward to continuing to grow with you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I need reminders on occasion that it's not about me.
Yep. It's not. It is not. All right. Thanks for being on. Great to have you tonight. Let me go
Thank
to
you.
My next caller here. All right. Next caller here looks like a 707 area code. Welcome to the call.
Hi there.
Hello. Welcome.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, I sure can.
Great. Chris, thank you so much for everything you've shared. My name is Brian, calling you from Dallas.
Hey,
and,
welcome.
Thank you. My question is, do you have a set of parameters or like a checklist that you go through before you make a decision that involves risk?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, yeah, do I have a parameters before I go through risk? Yeah, I do. That's what has allowed for me to kind of stay consistent and focus on a specific area of life. to where I can have results. So it's once you have clarity on what it is that you want, you can begin to now kind of filter out and block those shiny objects from coming. And not so much per risk checklist, but I have four filters that I have when opportunities come my way. You know, because the role and the visibility that I have now, every single week I'm getting some opportunity. You know,
right.
Some are risky, some are not risky, but it can be easily more of a distraction than a risk. That's the risk, is that it's a distraction from my purpose and my calling. And so I decided many years ago, 6-7 years ago, actually it was October 2011. I remember that because that was the first time I seen Paul Martinelli, the president of John Maxwell Team, speak in Dallas, Texas with Zig Ziglar and a couple other people. He wasn't president of John Maxwell Team at that time, Paul Martinelli wasn't, but he talked about clarity and your purpose. And he, during that talk, it helped me really clarify what it is that I need to do in order to stay on track. And so I came up with four things to filter an opportunity. My four things are this, in what I do and who I am. I speak, I coach, I train, I read. I speak, I coach, I train, I read. And so if an opportunity to come my way, it becomes through a filter. Does this opportunity allow for me to speak? Does it allow for me to coach? Does it allow for me to train? Does it allow for me to read? If it doesn't, I can't even lift my head up to it. Okay?
Gotcha.
And that allowed for me to stay on that road. So it's clarity. So how do you assess risk? It's clarity in your purpose. Okay? And I love what Garrett Gunderson said about that. He said that, without clarity in your purpose, you can't distinguish an opportunity from a distraction. Without clarity in your purpose, you cannot distinguish an opportunity from a distraction. And so you got to be clear on who you are and what you do, and I think that helps mitigate risk. So there's no, like, I'm not going to go open up a smoothie business, okay? I'm not going to go, you know what I mean? Sorry. That's just not going to happen. So it allows for me to filter. Now when it comes to, like, different businesses and things like that, because I'm an entrepreneur at heart, and my eyes bounce a little bit. But when it comes to that, you know, I run everything by my wife when I've got a wild hair. Because this is what I also found. Anything that my wife does not 100% support, whether she passively says, yeah, go ahead and do it, or I don't care. Anything that she doesn't 100% support has never worked for me. I don't know what it is. I have no idea what it is. But this is why it's so difficult to build a business or move forward when you don't have the support of a supportive spouse.
Right.
And good people die in cubicles because they don't have a supportive spouse. I run things by her. Now, again, I get to run my head into the wall many times because she doesn't say anything, and I just do it anyway, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work.
All right.
Yeah, that's my other filter.
Great. That's really helpful. Thank you.
There we go.
Thank you for that.
Absolutely. Thanks for being on. There we go. Let's go to our next caller here. Let's go 352 area code. Welcome to the call. 352.
Hello?
Yes. Hello. Welcome.
Yes. Hey, Chris. How are you?
Doing great. Doing great.
That's fantastic. I'm Austin Young out of Gainesville, Florida. I definitely thank you for this call. Oddly enough, I literally got the email about this call before it started when we're signing up for it while I was reading a book.
Oh, wow. Wow. How about that?
Have to be intentional all the way that nothing happens.
Right.
In a certain sense. But right. I wanted to ask you pretty much, I'm in a position where I know what I want to do, but I can't crack the code, or I haven't figured out exactly how to do it and get paid from it. And that's been difficult. I've actually been wanting to get in, join the John Maxwell team because I want to be a speaker, coach. I'm actually working on a book right now. And so with that, though, you know, everything comes with the cost and not being in the best financial position. What would you kind of say, I don't know, for me to do? Like, what should I do?
Yeah, so here's the thing. You got to do something. You're going to do something anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, but the question is, are you going to move towards your goal or your dream? So you're going to do something, but you're either going to be moving towards it or you're going to be moving away from it. So, you know, in this particular scenario where you're like, well, I don't know exactly how to do it. Look, I didn't know exactly how to do it. And the reason why it's okay not to know exactly how to do it is because, for the most part, what we do is made up. Now, there's some paths that have, you know, been beat that we can help save you some time and some correction and just, hey, look, don't go there. Don't do that. But this is what you have to do. And the timing of that's going to be different for everybody anyway. Okay? Mm-hmm. So look at it like this, all right? Do you know the next step that you need to take?
I would say yes.
Okay, do that, because what's going to happen is the next step will be revealed once you take the first step. If you sit back and you're waiting for you to be able to see how it's going to work from A to Z, you're never going to step out. And I think about it was my daughter. I take them to golf lessons, and we went to this course that we had never been to before, and then she had to go to the bathroom, and she opens up the door of the women's bathroom. It's actually a gigantic locker room, and she walks inside. It's dark, and she comes back out. She says, "Dad, it's dark. I can't go in there." I said, "Just go in there. There's got to be a light on the wall." So I'm kicking the door open just a little bit, and you know, trying not to get kicked out of this place, you know, for people in the women's bathroom. And so there's got to be one on the wall right there. And she's like, "It's not. It's not." She comes back out. She said, "Go back in. I just need you to go further this time." She goes further to the bathroom. The light's on a sensor. And the further she went back, the more lights came on, light after light after light. But here's the thing. She doesn't walk through that door. She doesn't take the first step. That next piece of the puzzle isn't revealed. And so I want to encourage you, it's the next step. That's the only step that you have to worry about, is the next step. Because when you get to the next step, you're going to now increase your awareness. You're going to see and be able to ask questions that you cannot ask on this level that you're at right now, but you've got to move forward. So you know what the next step is. You've got to do that.
That was mind-blowing.
Sounds good.
Just take it one step at a time.
One step at a time, man. You got it. All right, looking forward to seeing you on the team. That's where we're going to help you out. You got it. Thanks for being on. Here we go. Let's go to our next caller here. Let's go here. Anonymous caller, welcome to the call.
Yeah, hi. This is Linda from Queens. Thank you for this evening's call.
Absolutely.
Yes, I just wanted to say that I know this discussion today was a lot about, you know, self-esteem and the things to help build it up, especially in the area of guarding the self-talk. And I don't know if you have any suggestions about, because sometimes I get a little thrown off in that area because I try to discern whether other people's constructive criticism is truly genuine or are they just coming from a place of ego, because sometimes I do have a hard time with that piece.
Yeah, you got to filter it, you know, and some people's criticism is going to be legitimate, but some people's, you know, it's going to be intentionally hurtful. But at the end of the day, you know, you've got to do you.
Right.
You know, it's like, thank you for that, but all right, you know, I'm going to keep going. You know, there's, you know, there was yesterday I was shooting video, for a John Maxwell team and create new training videos. And the guy that was filming the video, I did the video and I was done. And he's like, "Oh, you should go back and do that part." And it was, "No thanks."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it was like, "No thanks." He's like, "Yeah, but it was kind of a little bit flat." It's okay.
Right.
It doesn't need to be perfect. It needs to be
right, done.
And I had the confidence to go on. It didn't penetrate my mind just to question, "Oh, should I go back and do it? Is it going to be wrong? Is it going to be?" You've got to protect that. I don't know if you've ever watched a documentary. There's a documentary on Netflix. It's called Venus and Serena about the Williams sisters.
Okay.
And it is a great one about Florida. There's a segment in there where one of them is being interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
And the interviewer asked the daughter, one of the girls, the question, "Are you going to be a champion tennis player?" She said yes, confidently. And the interviewer asked her the question back, "What makes you so sure about that?" And the dad just loses it. He jumps up. He says, "She told you confidently the first time that she's going to be a champion. Do not put doubt in my daughter's mind. She is a child. Do not create doubt in her mind."
Mm-hmm.
What did he understand? He understood that seed that could grow when doubt comes there and how much we've got to protect that mind.
Yes,
so
yes.
You've got to trust you. You've got to do you. Some are going to be out for hurt. Some of it's going to be for real, but you've got to be able to decipher that but not get attached to it one way or the other.
Okay, great.
You got it.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on. All right. Well, that gets us wrapped up for tonight's call. It has been an honor and a privilege to be here on with you tonight. Jump back and join Deb and I both next week for the 15 Laws of Growth. We're going to be on together. We're going to have a phenomenal time. And, again, if you want to find out more information about John Maxwell Team, be sure to check out johnmaxwellteam.com/15laws. I'm going to go ahead and unmute all the lines so everyone can say goodbye, and we will see you next week. Have a great day.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.